Tonight's reading is from John, chapter 13, verses 21 through 32, and is on page 876 of your pew Bible. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he had said this to him. Some thought because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
I don't know about you, but I feel like the world and our society has gotten really, really cynical. Like, we've been through a lot, and I feel like very little will surprise us anymore. Except I think that we still are surprised by betrayal. We never see it coming. We may see corruption coming. We may not be shocked by the behaviors or words that are rude or mean that come out of the mouths of people, but betrayal, the deep trust-breaking action, I really don't think we see coming. I certainly don't. In hindsight, of course, we can look back and say to ourselves, "Well, I should have seen it there. I should have seen that coming." But we never, ever do. Because betrayal happens when trust has been built, when we're in those kinds of relationships, whether it's a large-scale social contract relationship or in an intimate one-on-one relationship. And I'm sure there are those among us that have our own stories of betrayal, of trust broken beyond repair. But I don't think we see it coming. Even when it's us that have done the betraying. And I don't think we wake up one day and we say, "Well, today I am going to betray the trust of my beloved." And yet, sometimes we do. Sometimes it's that one little step outside of our own integrity, often done out of fear or shame or anger, that one little step that heads us into a direction that leads to deception and betrayal. We don't even see that coming half the time. Jesus sees it. Something in him, I would say his divinity, sees what is happening in Judas. He alludes to it in the scene that precedes our reading. And then the disciples are confused. And Jesus, as he is thinking about the truth of the things that he is saying about service and love, he knows that more betrayal is coming. He becomes troubled in spirit, which is a really nice translation of the Greek, which really means that he becomes indignant. Jesus has just done an incredible thing in the washing of the disciples' feet, has done amazing things throughout his life to give love, and he knows that the offering of himself will be answered with betrayal. "Very truly, I tell you," he says, one of you will betray me. Just lays it flat out right there. And the ripples of shock go through the disciples. And Simon gestures to the beloved disciple because he really wants to know what's going on. And the beloved disciple's all cool, like, hey, Jesus, who is that that's going to do that to you? And there's no indication that that conversation between Jesus and the beloved one is an other loud conversation, but that it's just between the two of them. But we know that Jesus gives a clear indication who it was that would betray him, the one whom I give this piece of bread. And he hands that bread to Judas, and Judas takes it, and in that moment makes his choice. I never really know what to do with the mention of Satan here, except to say that in that moment, Judas chooses to leave, to step out of the circle where he knew love. Something in him just could not hear what Jesus was saying or see what Jesus was doing that told him, Judas, of the deep, abiding love that Jesus had for him. And that is the work of the adversary, to make us believe that we are somehow separated from God's love, that we are somehow unworthy of God's love. The other understanding of this mention of Satan is that it reminds us of the cosmic ramifications of this betrayal. Jesus is not fighting against Judas, but against the adversary. And in John, this is important because there is no other narrated stories of exorcisms in Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of John until Jesus overcomes death and the grave. Jesus, from the very beginning, has had control of this whole story, and it isn't any different in this encounter, no matter who shows up. But Judas believes the lies of the adversary and steps out of the circle, walks away, and in that moment betrays Jesus. And he isn't the first. He won't be the last. We'll hear about Peter in a couple of days. This isn't anything new to us. Most of us gathered here know this story, know Jesus' actions, know our call to follow the example that Jesus has set, know that we betray that call and his love pretty regularly. It's been weighing heavily on me this past week as I prepared for tonight how resistant we are to our own betrayal of God, individually and corporately, to knowing and acknowledging that betrayal. Sure, we confess nearly every Sunday, but when asked to confess specifically about something, we are quick to distance ourselves, and we'll often figure out a way to deflect that person coming at us or blame somebody else for what we do. It was just a little lie and omission, really. I know I was mean, but they know I love them. It wasn't my intention to act in a racist way. Oh, well, that stuff over there doesn't involve me. The weight of these things, small. Their unconfessed things get heavier and heavier as we go about our days, resisting acknowledging any of the things that we do to betray God or each other does not make it go away. So I've been thinking about this, and I've been asking myself, what is weighing me down? And I'm curious about what is weighing you down. In what ways have you betrayed God or someone else, little or big? I want you to take a few minutes and be really honest with yourself about this. Allow yourself the gift of acknowledgement and responsibility taking about what burdens your soul. What is the Spirit nudging you on? What do you need to confess this evening? But before I do that, I'm going to have you breathe with me, because I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about it, it felt hard and anxiety started happening in my heart and my mind. So let's take a couple. By the way, you're not going to share any of this stuff with anybody. This is just for you and God. But let's take a couple of deep breaths together, friends. In and out. In what ways have you betrayed God or someone else? And how are those weighing you down? Take a few minutes. Pastor Stanton reminded us on Monday that Lazarus didn't emerge from the tomb smelling like roses. That Lazarus was being met by Jesus with the stench of death still coming off of him. That death, sadness, and stench were met that day by God, by Jesus, God's embodied grace and love. Jesus meets us in all of our death, sadness, and stench, all of our sin, all of our betrayal, and does so with the same steadfast love shown to us by God throughout Scripture. The stench of our sin, the ways that we step away from God, it sticks in our hearts like the smell of rotten meat sticks in your nose. Just sticks there. And then we are met by Jesus. Jesus, who washed the feet of Judas and Peter, knowing what was going to come. Jesus, who in giving the new commandment proclaims his love for the disciples, not excluding them. Jesus, in the midst of his indignant anger at being betrayed, still loving those who will betray him. He will still go to the cross, will still die, so that we all know salvation. Even Peter, even Judas. Jesus' unending capacity for love will show up again and again and again in the encounters he has with his disciples after his death. He will continue to counsel them to follow his example of living a life with the heart of the Creator who called all things good. Yet Jesus' relentless acknowledgement of humanity's propensity for sin and his equally relentless actions of mercy, they're a balm. A balm to my world-weary, heavy-burdened soul. Because Jesus sees that I have sinned and fallen short, that you have sinned and fallen short, that each and every human being alive has sinned and fallen short, that humanity over and over again falls short. And not only meets all of that with forgiveness, but still teaches that each of us carries within us the capacity to love the other who has fallen short, to see and know each other through Jesus' eyes. And friends, we never see it coming. We never see the depth of love that God has for us shown forth in Jesus. We can barely imagine that it is real, that despite betrayal and anger and threats of death, Jesus keeps steady in his mission to heal the world. And then in the process of that, he calls his followers, his betrayers, to do the same. And here we are, over 2,000 years later, reading the stories that remind us of Jesus' deep capacity for love and mercy. And we may not see it coming, but somewhere in our soul there is a place that never sees betrayal coming because it knows the depth of love that is ours in Jesus and trusts that more. In a moment, we're going to get real and honest about how our sin, our betrayals, rip our world apart in big and small ways. I invite you to use this moment to get real and honest with yourself and to imagine those things you thought about earlier as you rip that fabric. As we prepare ourselves for the next 3 days, hearing what Jesus has done for us. But that's not the end. We will also remind each other that Jesus meets us in the cross. And those sins, those betrayals, that weight is forgiven, is lifted, not only for our sake, but for the sake of the world. Amen.